Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Friday, May the 24th, 149th day of the new year. Joining us is an old friend, but he's wearing a really weird-looking costume, Dave Hull.
Hi, Brian.
So what is that uniform that you're wearing?
Well, this is the Friday uniform. It's the Hawaiian shirt. You know, it's Hawaii Friday.
Yeah, but, it's always Friday somewhere?
No, well, it is always Friday somewhere.
That song didn't really make it, you know.
Yeah, well, I know. Jimmy had to change it.
Yeah.
But that's where he started with it. So it's a tie the rest of the week. Yeah, you just never see me except on Friday.
Well, it does kind of look camo-ish.
Yeah, well,
so I guess you blend in and cut in a lot better than you did where you had been, huh?
Exactly.
So for folks who don't know where are you these days?
I'm the general manager of the Humboldt Community Services District now.
Oh, new title.
New title.
New place.
New place.
Same attitude.
Yeah.
we'll talk about the services district, some of the things that it does. As we kind of, you know, lay the foundation for good stuff, and then I'm sure I'll get a couple of either embarrassing or cheap questions in also when we
You
come
usually
back.
Do.
Yes.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Times 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hull. You know, you haven't seen the new addition in the studio, have you?
No. You have a new addition? Is it a dog?
Damien, if you'd take two steps to your right, sir, please.
My right?
Thank you.
Oh, look at that clock.
Uh-huh.
That's incredible.
You know, you're not here for 6 months. Upgrades happen,
I
man.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
Is the carpet different?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, same old chair, too. But that's okay. We got the big,
got
fancy, big fancy clock. Yeah, it might even almost be on time.
Yeah. Is that because you couldn't see the little one anymore?
I couldn't set it.
Okay. It'll be right again when the time changes.
Yes,
right?
Eventually.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? You want a proverb? Is today a proverb day or a quote day?
This is a proverb day.
Okay.
Right before holiday, it's a proverb.
Yeah. Okay, this is a Yiddish proverb from that great country of Yid. Yeah. I've been reading too much Dr. Seuss again, I know, but okay, I'm working it through. A quiet fool is half a sage.
That's true. He may even be 5/8 a sage.
Well, it depends on who he works for, right?
Yeah.
Oh. So what in the world is the Humboldt Community Services District?
Well, it's a services district, and I'll talk about what that is. It was formed back in 1952, and basically what it does is distribute water to about 7,500 connections and collect wastewater from about a little more than 6,000 connections, and does some street lights here and there. Now, our area is basically surrounds the city of Eureka, so we have Myrtletown and Cutton and Ridgewood and down to King Salmon and Pine Hill and Fields Landing and Humboldt Hill.
So
and then we provide water out to, not sewer, but water out to the freshwater area.
So
about 19 square miles.
To kind of blend the water district with the services district, Carroll's folks pull the water out of Mad River.
Correct.
Pump it out to Cutting?
It goes, actually, Myrtletown is more like it. Where we pick up the water is at Hubbard and Harris, you know, by Fire District 1.
Oh, so you just have a different color pipe. You don't, you don't necessarily have a water holding tank.
It comes into a city building, and there, yeah, it splits there. So
those pipes
we actually get water, is a better way to put it, from like three different sources. We get water from the city of Eureka, that's from that location. We get water from the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. That's actually an interesting connection. I don't know how many people know about that, but it actually goes under the bay from Fairhaven across to up behind the mall there at the end of Truesdale Street. That's where that connection comes up.
So that pumping station is yours?
Yep, and then there's we have three deep wells that are at the base of Humboldt Hill that also provide water.
And those are the ones that are just...
There's two of them on South Broadway, and one of them that's up in the tract with the college named streets.
Okay, so it's that funny building just at the overpass there, the King Salmon exit.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not a funny building.
Cinder block.
Yes. It's very
bunker.
It's very well-like. Yeah.
In the middle of the swamp. That one goes down as funny.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Fun thing is those wells are like 400 feet deep and they're artesian. So, although we still have to pump them, of
really?
Course. But yeah, it's pretty interesting.
How
stuff.
In the world do they find that?
Witching rods and, no, I don't
well,
know.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, in the middle of marsh, bay estuary, that there would be a freshwater spring. How would you even know that there was a place to look?
I'm sure there's a history, because it is kind of an interesting, you know, how would you pick that out of the whole district to find one? But remember, there is this huge freshwater lens that's under the whole bay. So, I mean, there's artesian wells.
Really?
Yeah, there's artesian springs out in the middle of the bay, actually. On the ruins out there, there's artesian water bubbling up from the bottom. We used an artesian well in Klop Lake when I was working for the city of Arcata, put fresh water into Klop Lake. So,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. You get down that deep, there's a lot of pressure, so it forces it back up.
Shoots it up, but yeah. I'm surprised that in the bay it hasn't been tapped. Or is that way too permit intensive?
Yes.
Okay. You know, the artesian water is the one everybody.
It is now.
About.
I think in the past, a 400-foot well was.
You mean Olympia beer could have been brewed here?
Olympia.
And we could have had all
Olympia
the artesians living here.
That's right. See.
Instead
of in Olympia. Yeah.
Wow. Narrowly avoided that one, huh? So
I
you
used
guys,
to live up there. I've seen artesians.
I've seen them. That was a fun campaign. What was that, about 30 years ago?
Yeah. It was.
Yeah, they're artesians. I've seen them. Yeah. So you've got probably more pumps to worry about maintaining than pretty darn near any other service district in the area.
Yeah, on the water side, probably. We have 10 water tanks. We have a number of pump stations. And on the sewer side, we have a number of lift stations, I think 29 altogether. So lots of energy-intensive stuff to keep the water coming in and the wastewater going out.
To allow gravity to do its thing,
Another thing that's interesting about this service district, it doesn't have any treatment capability. The city of Eureka treats the wastewater, and, of course, Carroll treats the water. So we just move it through.
Oh, I bet you just count your blessings every day on that one, huh?
You betcha.
Yeah. No chemicals here. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:23. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hull. Dave's now working out in sunny Cutting.
It is, and it was sunny when I left.
Really?
Yeah. Windless, sunny day. It's beautiful.
Yeah, fine. I don't believe you as much as I do, Regan.
In sunny Fortuna?
In sunny Fortuna, yeah. Oh. Dave, the infrastructure that you're looking at managing seems to me, with all these lift stations and things that you were referencing and pump stations and whatnot, and I would say the wide geographic area. I know it's not as big as some areas, okay, but certainly it's diverse, and there's a lot of verticality.
Yes.
To go from King Salmon to Myrtletown up
to
and down.
To the top of Humboldt Hill. And,
yeah. What's the condition of the infrastructure? Is it ready to keep working for the next little bit? Are you in the same boat? You said 52.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, simple math indicates it's somewhere around 60 years old.
Well, and that's always a challenge in these kind of things, because as the town has grown, as the areas have grown, the incremental growth through these areas, you have some sections that are pretty, you know, fairly old, or at least originally, and you have some that are essentially brand new and everything in between. So what I'm real proud of the service district for is they've taken a real proactive approach over the last few years to actually go back in, look ahead, and say, you know, these water lines in this particular area are really problematic, and we need to get on changing them before there is a problem. So it's not a wait till it breaks sort of a thing. Certainly we have those things that break anyway.
Or surprise. Well, not so much of a surprise. It broke.
Well, yeah, it broke or it collapsed or it's something. You know, that's just par for the course. But we have been making a real concerted effort for many years to get ahead of it. And so we don't have a bunch of deferred maintenance. We're actually on top of it. One of the things that is been one example of that is this the steel water line replacement, the main line replacements. You know, steel comes with its own set of issues.
This is steel as in the material, not the manufacturing brand?
That's right. Yeah, it's not a chainsaw or anything. Yeah, right. It's made out of steel, and that was, you know, state of the art and good stuff and whatever, but it rusts, it corrodes, a lot of it needs cathodic protection, you know, so it doesn't
rot. Is that the electrolysis thing?
The electrolysis stuff. You know, it's got all these kind of things. And so, you know, state of the art now is replacing it with, you know, real heavy walled, you know, plastic that's designed just for this thing. So the district has for several years had a program to get rid of those steel water lines and replace them. And this was, you know, ahead of them actually becoming a problem.
Does the plastic? Now, this is the drinking water going in, right, to the homes.
This is on the water side, right?
Okay. Does the plastic carry any special challenges that the steel doesn't? I think most folks can tell the taste of the water, particularly if it isn't getting blown through three, four times a day.
Yeah.
You know, so it does have a chance to. Does the plastic have less of those additives or chemicals into it than the steel does?
Well,
is it the same?
For water stuff, you can just imagine there's all kinds of regulations on the manufacturer stuff that you put drinking water through. So, you know, it's all, you know, spec stuff. It's all the right pressure test stuff. And, of course, we all, when it's replaced, it's all chlorinated and disinfected and flushed and everything, in case anything gets in there, too.
So you have to treat it before you can use it.
Correct.
How do you do that if...
Chlorine. And then you dechlorinate it, because the chlorine's relatively hot,
is another,
if you will,
to
disinfect it. And so,
but how do you do that if you've already connected it into the system to make sure there are no leaks? How do you then clean it?
Yeah.
I mean, is that how it's done?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. And it all flows downhill.
You know, well, that the wastewater
still
flows downhill.
Still works.
Yeah,
yeah,
water's under pressure.
With all the lifts and the pumps, and how deep are water pipes?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to say, you know, 3 feet, 4 feet, something like that. Water pipe, because they're under pressure, you know, you can get kind of a standard thing. Sewer, on the other hand, where you're trying to get as much gravity as you can, so you're not paying for electricity to pump these things and maintain a whole pump station or whatever, some of those can be deep, you know, 14, 15 feet deep, which is a, you know, a huge issue to get into work on them. You have to have all kinds of shoring and all kinds of protection for the workers. And
Really big shovel?
We just bought an excavator last year, I believe, or 2 years ago, so that we could better service those deep applications. So
get down into that stuff.
Yep.
So if there's a leak, and I think we've all have seen leaks, and they kind of pop up through the asphalt of the road, how do you know where it comes from? Is there a machine? Do you just have to start digging? I remember when there were the leaks in Arcata. Hey, I think they tore up a third of the town.
Yeah.
Trying to find where those things were. These small little guys that just kind of look like running water.
Right.
Are they easy to find?
In some cases they are. In many cases they're not. You know, it's a little bit of a an art, I'm going to say. We do have some equipment. We have things that you can listen, and so you can hear through the ground and hear the water running. If it's a sewer thing, we actually have cameras that we can run down through the sewer line to see where, you know, what the conditions are, where the plug is or whatever. So there's different little techniques with this, but, you know, once you start digging into it, that's when you really find it.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that's when you really step into it.
Hopefully not.
But you chose not to.
That's right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, not 14 feet, though, and nobody's stepping into that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's called the deep end, isn't it? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Dave Hall.
An unprecedented savings event is going on now at Burns Furniture. The Serta iComfort Triple Bonus. Bonus 1, save up to $400 on a Serta adjustable foundation. Bonus 2, receive a free iComfort 2-in-1 mattress protector up to a $159 retail value. And bonus 3, receive 2 free iComfort scrunch pillows when you buy a Sealy iComfort or iSeries mattress. Catch the Serta Triple Bonus before it goes away at Burns Furniture, 5th and G.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. If you don't have your Kinetic machine yet, you're SOL. Ah, okay. I got a lot of soul, too.
Yeah, you do.
That would be SOL.
Oh, yeah,
soul.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I haven't had that beer brand in a while. Yeah, it's a Mexican, light Mexican beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a weekend.
I know, I understand that. I'm going to be driving a lot, though.
It's Friday somewhere.
Yeah. Still. All right. You got some kind of weird poster coming to you. I don't know what it is, but it'll be coming to you. We got Dave Hall, who's now part of the Humboldt Community Services District, which means he's involved with water, but to residents now instead of to birdies.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Dave, when you looked at what the service district does, and where it came from, and some of the challenges that are out there, what do you see as, or is there even, opportunities for the service district to do something different than what they are doing currently?
Well, I think the real answer to that is it's up to the board. It does have a fairly narrow legislative charge. You know, CSDs are set up with certain things in mind, and like I said, water and wastewater and streetlights is pretty much the extent of ours. So the board has, over the years, has kept to that narrow focus, and they've been real successful at it. And I think there is some beauty to that, because it allows, you know, you don't get diluted with other things to do and other priorities and things like this.
Diluted is not an attempt at a bad pun, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was.
Very good. Yeah. Very good indeed. Yes. Okay. You mentioned the geographic area, and I would think it's tough because King Salmon's got its special circumstances because of where it is laid out and the flooding that happens. Fields Landing, certainly, I don't know if there's a community other than Orrick that has gone through more change during its existence than Fields Landing has. You've got, you mentioned Humboldt Hill, high,
right,
short, couple of fault lines in the mix just for fun. You got Myrtletown on the other end of the neighborhood. As you're looking at, is it as effectively laid out as it could be when you're looking at replacing some of these, the infrastructure? Does it make sense to keep it as it is, or are there opportunities to do it better?
Well, it is. It does make sense to keep it as it is in most places because it is what it is, and it's extremely expensive to do it. It was, you know, the service district has piecemealed itself. You know, you mentioned King Salmon, Fields Landing, and Humboldt Hill. Those were all picked up from the county. There used to be a Humboldt County service district.
That was that picked there. Up or left left by?
Well, you know, different staff have different opinions. but the service district 3, when it went away, our Humboldt Community Service District picked that up. So that was existing infrastructure that we had nothing to do with any of it, and it comes with its own unknowns and issues and things like that. So. But we have, again, I got an incredible staff that's taking care of this stuff. They know the system inside and out, and it's really been good. One of the changes, though, that of course is coming along, when you get an opportunity to do this, where it does make some sense, you push ahead on that. And our district's been pretty proactive with that. So is the city of Eureka. The one that's in the works right now, a lot of people, if you go by Herrick and you notice all the work that's been going on in the golf course down there, that's all part of a project called the Martin Slough Interceptor Project. And it was it's been on the books for several years, but basically what it does is it relieves some of the pressure that essentially all of Cutton went to one pump station in the city of Eureka to get down to the treatment plant. The Martin Slough Interceptor Project does, it puts another pipeline in, basically reverses the flow and gets it down to the treatment plant a different direction. But in doing that, there's several advantages to it. By turning the flow around, we lose some of those pump stations, so we save money on energy, we save money on just maintenance and upkeep and all the rest of those kind of things. So it makes some economic sense. On the environmental side, you know, it's a shorter route because we're eliminating a bunch of these little side things. That makes less line, and it's new, so it's less prone to leaking and stuff like that, which is, of course, all good for the environment. The other thing it does, though, is it builds some capacity out in the Cutton area and in some of the places that are in that area so that...
So like the build-out of Lombard Hills?
Yeah, exactly.
Could be handled by this?
Yep, and some of the other projects that are just around, like behind the ball fields and those kind of areas that have been on the books for a long time, too. So there's a number of those. So it builds some capacity for this, too. So this is a... This is a project that's been worked on jointly with the city of Eureka and the Humboldt Community Service District, and we're just entering. Hopefully, we're down toward almost the end of the project here. Another year, it ought to be done.
Is there a need for other parts of your district to have increased capacity? Also, I mean, I'm looking at Myrtletown, knowing what it was because I grew up here,
right,
and what it is now, and it's probably, I don't know, somewhere between 80% and 120% more than what it was in the 60s. Okay, there's still plenty of other places that could still be built out to maybe double or triple what it was 50 years ago. Well, I can't imagine that the infrastructure that was suitable for what was can handle for what is. Are there plans on the books to do similar things in other areas in your district?
No. There isn't anything at the scale of the Martin Slough Interceptor. That's correct. There isn't any need. If there was some, you know, the county worked on some huge planning, something that involved a whole bunch of other stuff, then we would get involved one way or another to either, for sure, to look at the capacity we have, or look at if there was some need to expand something.
That was not a reference to the general plan?
No.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Dave Hall.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. Dave Hall's along for the bumpy ride this afternoon.
Yeah.
End up the rodeo. No. Well, kind of, sort of. End up the week also, heading into the 3-day. You guys doing anything exciting?
No.
Good. We're driving down to Oakland to get son number two.
Oh,
he's
good.
Flying in, yeah.
Nice.
He's got a best man tomorrow in Crete, flying out of Lincoln to Oakland. Talk about your highlights of the Western U.S., huh?
I guess.
Lincoln to Denver to Oakland. Yeah, baby. So we're road warriors for a couple of days. Dave, looking at the services district as it currently is, there's discussions about potential development south of the main office. North, we've got the community forest. We've got this. We've got that. Is the services district, with the infrastructure plans that are in place, able to handle these things as they build out? Or are these the kinds of things that need to be planned today for development that might be 25 years down the road?
Well, one of the things that I like about the service district is it's not a land planning organization. So we have the services available, we have the infrastructure that's available,
and so the infrastructure can handle that.
We have the contracts for water and things like that. So it's up to the developers or an agency or whoever is planning whatever to come and sit down and say, this is what we're looking at. Do we have the capacity?
So with the big project that was out by Ridgewood, those are getting kicked around.
The Forrester Gill project.
Yeah. You guys don't have to worry about anything when they come knocking on your door. You say, okay, you got to give us big pipes.
Oh, well.
And then you start putting big pipes in the ground?
That's a simplified version, but kind of, yeah.
Well, that's what I can follow, man.
They have to come in with an application. We actually get involved when the county's doing their planning. We're all in the loop for that, not as a planning, but as a reviewing to make sure, okay, they got all these units going in here. How many dwelling units are? What's the capacity? What are they?
So you're like the fire guys in that regard.
Just like that. Just
okay.
Like that. Yep. Just you've had experience with that. So it's just the same kind of thing. We want to make sure that in our case, that analogy, that, we have access and we have the capacity and things. So, yep.
What if you don't?
What if we don't? Then they don't get to.
Oh,
that's it? Yep. Unless there's a bunch of more money for a whole big infrastructure program to do something.
So you guys are kind of like the limiter.
We can be.
Rather than the enabler.
One of several, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Never thought of yourself. You didn't realize you had that kind of power. I can tell your forehead's off furrowed. You're going to go home tonight, strut up and down the street, aren't you?
Doggone right.
You know,
so turn on those sprinklers.
Keep the long pants on this time, though,
okay?
quick comment. We've had 20% less rainfall so far this year. Very little snowpack in the hills. Any concern?
No concern.
Okay.
We're in a pretty water-rich area, and, we went through 7 years of drought. You remember back in the 90s?
The El Niños?
The El Niños, yeah. Or I guess it was the late 80s. We just barely got into a situation where we needed to think about water conservation. We have plans. We've got steps. We've got stuff implemented, as do the other service districts, city, things like that. Carol, we've all got our routine we're going to go through if we ever get to that level, but so far we don't see anything.
Good deal. Enjoy your weekend.
You too. Have a good one.
Yeah.
Travel safe.
Throw the grandkid and catch.
I will.
Yeah.
Yes.
I always have to remember the catch part. One time I forgot.
And you've never heard the end of it.
Yeah, that's right. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Dave Hall. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love and see you tomorrow morning.